Tuesday, September 16th, 2014. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com. And this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, today we're going to do a little something called yet another three-part series. And this one is called The Three Drivers of Sales Success. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, what are the three things that we need to do, not just to survive in sales, not just to thrive in sales, but to kind of hit that level that we're all kind of aspiring for? You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that rock star level of sales success. Now, today's episode is brought to you by our brand new online sales program, How to Hunt More Effectively. So if you guys don't mind, let's go ahead and pay the bills. Let's check it out. Hey everyone, it's Paul Castain, and I wanted to remind you that if you're planning on joining us for a new online program, How to Hunt More Effectively, today's actually the deadline because we're going to be kicking off tomorrow on September 17th. This is a program that I think is really important for you to consider. Here's why. Many sales reps, they pick up the phone and they make calls, they send out emails, and then that's about it. Now listen, I'm not here to beat up on phone calls or emails. I do plenty of those. They're super important. Gold star to you if you're doing that. But you also have to understand, if that's all you're doing, you are definitely limiting your results. You do understand that, right? And let me tell you why. First of all, those channels are extremely noisy because, I mean, do you think you're the only one that's calling them? Do you think you're the only one that's emailing them? But the other thing that you have to consider is that everyone has their own preferred method of communication. Yes, some people love the phone. Yes, some people love the emails, but there's also people who enjoy going over to LinkedIn, other people who are all about traditional networking, other people that respond very well to something handwritten and sent to them or something FedEx to them, something that maybe, you know, just kind of demonstrates your creativity. We could go on and on and on. So this is why I've created this course, so that we can still talk about the phone, still talk about email, but talk about how not to replace those things, but to complement them into a well-orchestrated communication plan. So just a few of the things that we're going to be covering. First of all, how you could kind of look for business differently, like some different places that you might not have ever considered that could work very, very well for you. That's number one. We're going to talk about a little something called asking for referrals. A lot of you guys, you know that it's important to ask for referrals, but you know, you just kind of feel a little funny. Maybe you feel it gets a little weird. You don't know when to ask, how to ask. I'm definitely going to show you a system that works very well for my clients. We'll talk about the timing. We'll talk about how to ask for it. And I'm going to show you a way to do it where you could easily double and triple the amount of referrals that you're getting. We'll talk about how to use creative door openers to kind of get someone's attention, stand out to these buyers that are just really super distracted, how we could marry social networking into the mix. But all in all, there's going to be 9 sessions designed to help you stand out in a world that is just simply way too noisy. So if this sounds interesting to you and you want to join us, today is the day, because we're kicking off on September 17th. I want you to go to the following link, pull over the car, jot it down, go back to yoursalesplaybook.com/sell more. Now, you guys know how I feel. I really think it's important that you invest in yourself. I think you're worth it. But you know what? I'm really looking forward to hanging out with you guys and learning with you too. So hope to see you there, folks. Okay, so as I mentioned, today is part one of a 3-part series that we're going to be doing, and we're calling it The Three Drivers of Sales Success. So if you guys are ready, I think it's time to get down to business. Let's talk about driver number one, which we're going to call acquiring new business. Some of you like to call it hunting for business. Some of you guys call it bringing home the bacon, maybe kicking butt, taking names. Doesn't matter. It's all the same thing. But for today's discussion, we're going to call it acquiring new business because it sounds really sophisticated. Makes it seem a little more highbrow on the Sales Playbook podcast. But anyway, I think like many things, it begins with our mindset. So I'm going to say something to you right now. You're not going to like me When I get done saying it, please don't kill the messenger. But part of the mindset behind going out and getting new business is that, you ready for this? You might be scared. Now, hear me out here. Many times what happens is that we're involved in a lot of glorified procrastinating. Now, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but seriously, they refer to procrastination as the silent killer. It just absolutely destroys our results. In many cases, it'll destroy our career because you never see it coming. And what happens many times with procrastination is that the things that we do are more or less avoidance activities to keep us from doing something that might not be so pleasant. And like, again, as I said to you before, I don't want everybody like piling up outside my door like those horror movies with the pitchforks and the torches ready to like torch Uncle Paul's place here. But before you get mad at me, there was actually a study that I love to talk about. Why? Because I don't know, part of my inner smartass loves to kind of joke around a little bit about this, but this guy by the name of Dr. Piers Steele from up, I believe, the university at Calgary, but up in Canada, this guy did a 10-year study on procrastination. Now, come on now. I know you guys are like me. That's why we get along. What are you thinking right now? Come on, let's all fess up. A 10-year study on procrastination. What, he put it off for 9.5 years? All right. We got the silliness out of the way. Let's all kind of grow up a little bit, even though I don't want to. But you guys certainly have to get your act together, right? Me, I'm an idiot. You guys know that. But here's the deal. He did this 10-year study in procrastination. And what they found that, and this isn't going to shock you, but I do think you need to hear it. At the core of procrastination, in many cases, is a fear, a disbelief that we could ever accomplish the task in the first place. So what I want you to do, the very first thing, is I want you to think about the possibility. Remember, I'm just trying to be gentle about this. I don't want to assume that I know you. You're going to throw me out of your car, man. A lot of you guys, I'm riding shotgun with you right now. You're going to pull over the car and say, you're walking home, Gastain. You're going to leave me out in the middle of nowhere. But you might want to look at your business and think about if you have any avoidance activities. Let me just tell you what these avoidance activities look like. In some cases, it's getting bogged down in a little bit too much admin. And that's not to say that you don't have a lot of admin. It's just more or less you choose to do that during quote-unquote game time instead of playing the damn game. You're doing the paperwork to support the game. Or maybe you're getting involved in just this excessive servicing of accounts. I actually see that more than the admin side. We'll see people, and when I coach people, I'll say, hey, you know, not trying to point the finger, not trying to accuse you anything or making you feel real bad about what you're doing or what you're not doing, but I'm just curious why you're spending so much time with existing customers and not hunting for some new business as well. I mean, you can do both. And in many cases, it's this feeling that they have to provide this very, very high level of service, which, of course, you have to be doing. But the two can live very, very nicely together, as you will see as we progress in this three-part series, by the way. But sometimes we just kind of use that. We don't realize it. It's not on our things to do. Use that as an excuse today. But sometimes we're using that as kind of more or less just an avoidance activity. But also, too, we see it with hanging out maybe a little bit too long if you do like manufacturing right there on site. I see this with a lot of the printing companies that I work with, sales reps hanging out a lot in the plant. It could also manifest in the form of, again, maybe a little bit too much chit chat with your coworkers, with your existing clients. I mean, we all have our avoidance activities. So my first piece of advice there would be to really identify yours so that when these things start happening, I mean, Tony Robbins always talks about the concept of a pattern interrupt. We're creatures of habits and we're creatures of patterns. What do you look like when you're avoiding things that you don't want to do? So in this case, it might be, and nothing to feel bad about. I mean, I'm not one of these gung-ho sales trainers that's going to say, well, you suck if you do this or anything like that. I mean, come on, we're not going to fix a problem by making you feel bad, and we're not going to overcome a challenge that way. But let's just be extremely honest with each other, as if we really don't do that anyway, folks. But let's just be painfully honest right now. This is like the kind of honesty, like after you had a few beers together at the sales convention, everybody's telling their story. That kind of honesty. Right? Except I'm not drunk. Right? But I'm going to try to go there anyway because, you know, I can kind of like draw an experience here. But here's the deal. I mean, given the choice between getting on the phone with a stranger and, I don't know, maybe I'm going out on a limb here, just risking the possibility of getting your ass kicked on the phone. I don't know how people are on the phone by you guys, but they're not overly pleasant here in New York. So here you are, a choice between hanging out with those customers that love you and getting on the phone and getting your ass kicked, hanging out back in the plant, or getting on the phone and getting your ass kicked. You guys know where I'm going with this, and I'm not going to keep saying getting your ass kicked, although that was three times just for dramatic effect. So you really have to look at it, and then what you need to do is install something that is going to help you break that habit. And every, you know, whatever you come up with is fine. And sometimes when I'm doing a course or whatever and some people share some of the things we're doing, you know, there's that moment where you kind of like, and certainly not from my perspective, but other people might hear what somebody else is doing. Oh man, that's hokey. I couldn't do that or whatever. You know, it really doesn't matter what other people think of how you choose to interrupt your own pattern. They're never going to know about it. But one of the things that I do, and I kind of stole this from the late Zig Ziglar. I remember listening to something that he did many years ago, and it remains a classic today if you ever want to pick up his program. And it's reasonable. I think it's under $20 on Amazon. But he did this thing years ago. It had to be a good 25 years ago, I think it was. And I think it was called something like goals, setting them and achieving them on target or something like that. And he was talking about procrastination, and yes, he was talking about that whole silent killer thing. And I remember at the end of that little mini sermon that he gave, and only like the way that Zig Ziglar could do it, he said, the rule is simple. You do it today. The rule is simple. You do it today. And what I'll do, and I won't do this in front of the people, man. They'll think I'm a bigger nut than they already think I am. And that's, damn, that's pretty nutty. What I'll do many times when I start procrastinating when it comes to hunting and acquiring new business, I'm on my own. I'm here at stately Castain Manor at the world headquarters of Castain Training Systems by myself. And I'm putting something off, maybe hanging out a little bit too much with customers. Another avoidance activity for me might be spending a little bit too much time sometimes on LinkedIn and some of those other things or whatever. And I catch myself doing that. So to myself, what I'll do, because I'm usually sitting on my fat ass when I'm procrastinating. So what I like to do is kind of get up and nobody's around. So again, nobody's going to think I'm a nutcase. I'll just kind of say to myself, the rule is simple. You do it today. And I'll start going over to the things I need to do instead of the things that I'm doing to avoid the things that I need to do. So that's one of the first things that you want to do. You want to think about that. The other thing is that, you know, you might think, and this all has to do with mindset, that again, I want to go back to this idea that servicing or hunting for new business takes away from servicing existing accounts. Now, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag because I did promise you we're going to be addressing this in parts 2 and 3 and throughout this whole three-part series that we're doing. You know, all of these things, whether it be hunting for new business or servicing existing accounts, can and should live very nicely together. It never should be one versus the other. And quite frankly, and please don't be offended by this, but, you know, and I don't care if you're offended by this. What the hell am I apologizing for you for? I mean, you guys are, some of you are like 2,000 miles away from me. Like, you're going to kick my ass on this podcast. Anyway, I'm not going to apologize. Screw you if you don't like what I'm going to say. But here's the deal. I think what happens many times is that, again, we think that because we're off hunting for new business that we're completely neglecting what we're doing. But many times, what this is, it's really a justification for not going after that. And deep down, we might be scared, getting back to that whole core of procrastination thing. So I want you to be very much aware of that. But, you know, if you schedule it, things balance so much better. Because here's something. I just want to just kind of make a little guess here of who you are. And again, I don't know you. Some of you I do. Some of you are my coaching clients. Some of you guys have gone and I've done speeches for your kickoff meetings and stuff. But here's the thing. One of the things I know is that, yes, you don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to screw off. I'm not going to work on this driver thing that Castain's talking about. No, you're well-intentioned. But what happens, because it's not scheduled, other things, just like rapids, if you think about it, just like the roaring rapids going past, your line of sight just brings you to all these other places and things, and sometimes the things that it's bringing you towards are not necessarily things that are going to really help you grow your business. So here's my question to you. I mean, do you have your hunting, your new business acquisition time scheduled? Or is it more or less, yeah, I'm going to try to get to it this week, or this month I know I want to set aside 2 days? Because you know how I feel about that. If you don't have something scheduled right now, I want you to pull over the car, put your hand up to God and say amen, because what you have there, folks, is a prayer. Could you say it with me? Amen. Right? I may quit this training gig and become a preacher, man. I'm kind of taking a shine to it. But seriously, if you don't have it scheduled, man, you got a prayer there, and you need to say amen. So what do we do, man? Let's get this on the schedule. And there's a few things that you can do. One of the things that you can do, and this is kind of cool, I heard this a while ago, and some people refer to it as the 10 before 10 strategy. With some of you, I mean, why don't you do this? Why don't you just kind of have this mindset that every day you're going to get 10 phone calls in the bank before 10 a.m. Now, just a quick thing. I don't know about you guys, but I love the way I work best, because I'm a morning person. Although I am a night owl, too. I think I'm a little bit of both. But anyway, more of a morning person, especially when I'm nice and caffeinated. The deal is that I love things when I can get it in the bank before all these other things start coming my way, and fires to put out, training emergencies, Dr. Castain wanted in the training room, that kind of stuff. I think that's kind of a cool strategy. The other thing that I teach my clients is a little something-something called the 2-2-2 program. Think about 222. 222, that would be 3 2s, folks, for those of you who couldn't do the math. That's why I am a mathematical genius, and I decided to train instead of teaching mathematics. That and the fact that I probably flunked every math class I had ever taken, by the way. So here's the deal. Here's what this 222 thing is. And just like the 10 before 10, this is not a substitute for your total new account acquisition activities. This is a supplement. This is to keep you doing things and keeping things in the bank every single day. Here's the 222 thing. Every single day, make sure. I don't care if you're traveling somewhere that day. I don't care if you're in the car. I don't care if you got to go to the airport or whatever it is. Find a way during the course of that day to call at least two people that you just to kind of introduce the possibility of doing business together. So you've never spoken with them. And this is kind of like breaking new grounds that you're just like every single day. Imagine this. Two more people just kind of hearing about your company, hearing about you, getting you kind of your name in front of them, that kind of thing. Now, hear me out. Okay, this is going somewhere. Every day you want at least two phone calls. Then every single day, let's go to that second two. Every single day you want to send out at least two emails. That would be the same type of thing. Two people that you have never sent an email to, that, again, you're introducing your company for the first time. You're kind of introducing yourself for the very first time. And then last but not least, here, this kind of separates the men from the boys right here. This last part is, let's not forget about snail mail. So every single day, find a way to pop at least two pieces of mail off in the mail to two people that you have not worked with before. Again, introducing your company, whatever. And there's all kinds of things you can send out, but I have one rule about that. At least part of that has to have a handwritten component so that it's kind of personal. So it's not just some mass-produced thing that you had 50 million of them printed up. It was a little note. It could be a post-it note, or it could be like a little spot on there where you write something or whatever it is. Call the person by name. That's always a good thing. I think people love to respond to their name. But if you do that, but you see, if you do that every single day, it's really not two. It's very confusing because you heard two, three times. It's actually six a day. Six a day isn't really even six a day. That's 30 a week. See, there goes that mathematical thing again. See, I'm a genius. That's 30 a week. That is 120 a month. You ready for this, folks? How about 1,200 a year with me giving you 2 months off because I'm spoiling your ass? Now, seriously. Now, let's continue with this, like, you know, we've had a few beers, complete honesty type of thing. How could you not generate opportunity at the end of a year by having 1,200 rounds of artillery fire? I mean, seriously, the only way for you not to sell something doing that is if every single day those two pieces had you dropping the F-bomb in there. Like, you know, you're writing something out, F you. You're calling them up. Oh, yeah, and by the way, I forgot to tell you, F you, right? And, you know, emails and so on. That's the only way that you could not generate something from that. So now, if you have that above and beyond some other concentrated efforts, I think you could do pretty well. But it's a very sneaky system, if you think about it, because how long? I mean, again, complete honesty today, man. We're just letting it all hang out today. How long do these things with this take you? If you really think about it. And here's the best part. If you're busy, at least two of those things could be done before or after hours. Think about it. Email, you don't have to do that 9 to 5. You could do that 6:30 in the morning if you're so inclined. You could do it 6:30 at night. Snail mail? Hell. I mean, I was up this morning at like 4:30, some ungodly hour. First thing I did was I popped a few, you know, cards in the mail that I wanted to send out to a few VPs of sales, tell them about a new program that I had. I think it's a pretty important thing. But here's the thing, folks. If you could get in the habit of doing just those two silly things, never mind the numbers stacking in your favor, what it's going to do, it's going to help you work out those muscles for prospecting. What it's going to do, I mean, a lot of salespeople end up by failing because they've lost their new account acquisition chops. You can never have that happen. And by the way, some of you veterans listening to this, I mean, sometimes you think that, well, you know, I really don't have to hunt or whatever. We're going to get into that in a second. But here's the thing with that. What if all of a sudden a major part of your business disappeared and you were in a sink or swim mode? And don't tell me that that doesn't happen out there. Because it does. And you're actually listening to someone right now, would be, you know, again, let me help you with the math. It would be me. Where that happened, where I had to start all over again from a really hefty book of business many years ago. But anyway, so imagine you're used to servicing accounts. Now, all of a sudden, you got to work muscles that in some cases, some of you veterans haven't been worked in 10 years. You never want to lose your new account acquisition chops. Quick story for you. Many years ago, and this has to do with the mindset that gets in the way of hunting for new business. I owned a business, and many of you know, I really got my ass kicked with that business. I failed miserably with that business. I mean, to the point that for years I didn't talk about it. For years I didn't want to put it on a resume. I felt like a loser, put my family through some stuff that took me about 10 years to kind of dig out of. I ended up by losing my entire business back in 1995. I was in the printing business, printing industry. And I ended up by being $60,000 in debt, having two cars repoed, and just feeling like a grade A loser. And really what it came down to is I can tell you all kinds of things about it, and I'll probably do an episode of this podcast talking about some lessons that I learned from it. But really what it comes down to, again, in the spirit of all of us being honest today, is I was a grade A idiot. I was a jerk. I was, in essence, an old dog at the ripe old age of 30 years old, and you were not going to teach me a new trick. Why? Because I was experiencing a lot of success with my business, as many of you folks are in sales. We have this feeling that things last forever. And in my case, I was doing very, very well. I was running a very profitable business, and I brought in some incredible accounts in the printing industry. I had brought in DuPont. I had brought in Miracle-Gro. Out here in New York, there was a chain of stores called Rock Bottom Stores. I brought them in. I brought in London Jewelers out here. I brought in just a ton of really good, high-profile accounts that helped me get in the door of other places. I mean, really, in many ways, I was like a whiz kid with but I was 30, right? So I don't know if that qualifies me as a kid anymore. But anyway, compared to what I am now, an old fart, I was a kid. But I remember I had a visit from a friend of the family's who was a multimillionaire. This guy really knew his stuff. He was a great businessman. And he told me point blank, he said, "Hey, man, I'm really worried about you. And I'm worried about you because you're getting too comfortable with what you have, and you're not going out and getting new things." He said, "Paul, in a heartbeat, everything could change. You could have an account that goes out of business. You could have some politics play into an account. You lose that business. You could have accounts go out of business. You could have people stiff you on money." I was a broker. All kinds of things. And I remember I was such an arrogant son of a bitch that I looked at this multimillionaire, and I had the kind of relationship with him where I could say this and not get beaten up or sued. I said to him, "You worried about me, man? You worry about yourself, dude." And I was a real dick to the guy. And you don't become a multimillionaire without learning a thing or two, right? He was a real gentleman about it. He's all right, Paul, whatever. I think it was within 6 months or maybe closer to a year of that meeting, I was out of business. The cars were repoed, and I was seriously in debt. And what had happened was, again, I just kept servicing accounts. And here's what happened. Through no fault of mine, DuPont picked up the New York operation that they had. They used to be in Garden City, New York. They moved the product managers out of there to like Wilmington, Delaware, somewhere. They only wanted to deal with local vendors. That to me was, there's about $1 million hit of a $2.5 million book of business that I had back in 1995. I had a Canadian company pull out of New York and go back up. And I had three accounts stiff me. Again, remember, I was a broker, meaning that I had the work done. The work was delivered. They stiffed me on this, and it was about 90 grand, and it was the death blow. I had no new business coming in, all kinds of, it was just kind of like crap luck. Only, you know, replace that with the S curse, because I'm not going to say it on my podcast. And that's what happened. And I meet so many sales reps that think that they're invincible and they don't want to invest the time in growing their business. So again, without getting too much into the lecture with that, that's something that you want to do. But here's something else that I want you to do right now. I really want you to look at your business kind of superstitiously. And when I say that, I want you to realize that as good as things are going, that all good things can and usually do come to an end. What do you have in there to replace that business? What do you have to continually build your pipeline? And if you can't get superstitious about that, get superstitious about the fact that you're rusting, my friend, because you're not working those new account acquisition chops and muscle groups that you should be doing. The other thing that I want you to do, and because I spent a lot of time kind of going off on that tirade, is I want you to look at how you're hunting for business. My big message this year, if you guys haven't noticed, and I'm going to beat it up again, is that you really have to entertain things other than the phone and other than emails. Most sales reps, remember, I'm not saying this because I need to kill time on a podcast. I'm saying this because when people come to me and need a coach, just like 9 out of 10 people that I end up by working with are not working a communication plan that includes things beyond a phone and beyond email. And there's this whole world of things out there. So I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about, again, what can you do? In fact, I want you to ask yourself this question. In what ways can I complement the phone and complement the email? Now, when you say complement, remember, we're not saying replace. So please don't get all pissy like I'm saying, "Oh, the cold call is dead," and all that. Let's not have that stupid debate. You'll get no argument from me on that. Remember my take on it. It ain't dead. It's just really lonely. Needs some companionship from some of these other things. But what else can you put in there? There are other things that have been invented. I mean, we're not talking about like 1950s like sales work here. We're talking about modern times. Lots of tools. Probably so many tools that it's easier for you to dismiss them. But start thinking about it. Hey, quick story for you. What may happen sometimes is I want you to look at how you're getting your business right now. And what may happen is that you have things that are working for you, but you may have abandoned something along the way that was actually getting you better results than what you're getting right now. I had something very interesting happen with my business over the last, I would say, 8 months. Now, it's something, truth be told, that was really happening over the last 3 years, but it really manifested over the last 6 months. Now, one of the ways that I used to hunt for business, was that I had additional things that I used to do with LinkedIn, and they worked very, very well for me. And what happened was I started my business back in 2011, and probably about 6 months in, I kind of stepped away from some of the things I was doing on LinkedIn, not because LinkedIn sucks. In fact, many of you who know me, I'm still very, very visible on LinkedIn, but I had pulled away from some of the things that really had been doing well for me for the simple reason, first of all, I wasn't even aware that I did it because I was getting very busy with my business. 2 years in a row, I mean, I really, really knocked it out of the ballpark as far as new revenue that I brought in. And I'm not just saying that because I was a new business. I'm saying it because, you know, the first year was a pretty damn good year for my business, but years two and three, they were just really off the charts. So I got very, very busy. My online business exploded to the point now that we have about 3,000 graduates of the online programs. And so I was really getting pulled in different directions, and I was focusing my efforts in some different places. Still doing well, but that's where it can get real crazy for you, because you're looking at the dollars and you say, I'm growing my business. But you're not realizing that you're pulling away from something that was doing very, very well for you. And sometimes it doesn't just show up like seconds after you stop doing it and say, okay, you suck, you're off the mark. For me, it took a while, but here's the deal. I pulled away from like a lot of things on LinkedIn, but you know, I still show up on LinkedIn. I still manage a group. You'll see me with my status updates and things like that. But one of about three or four things that I kind of pulled away from, it was a very simple thing, and I always talk about it here. It was sending out a resource to everyone in my network through LinkedIn every 4 to 6 weeks. Now, it's funny that we're talking about this, because just today I got back to it, and I had abandoned it for the better part of a year. And then before that year, I really had not been as consistent with it for probably a good 2 years. So I wasn't doing it religiously every 4 to 6 weeks. Why? Very simple thing. I didn't have it like scheduled on my smartphone. Like, we should be scheduling all the things that are important. So when I talk about saying amen, I probably should have been saying amen for the last 2.5 years or whatever, because I wasn't serious about it. It was a prayer. But here's the deal. What I was doing, I was sending out little email to everybody saying, hey, here's some resources for you for free. And what that little silly email would do, because it was just like no strings attached, it really wasn't self-promotional or anything like that, it got me in front of people, and it kind of, you know, the exposure, and oh, wow, Paul's here, you know, oh, yeah, I forgot about you, which happens. And it also kind of generated some responses, which generated conversations, and it generated a lot of business for me. And I really kind of forgot about that until today, when I started doing this again. I sent out today one of the things I sent out, and I'll put a link for you guys in the show notes. We now have an app for the Sales Playbook podcast that you can just click on the link from your smartphone, and it will load right onto your home screen. So now with iTunes, the problem is you can only get about 20 of my episodes. With this app, you can get all 106, all 107 episodes. That's pretty cool, right on your smartphone. So you never miss any of them, and you have access. So I sent it out to everybody. I said, hey, here's something free for you. And by the way, you know, if you didn't realize it, on my website, and I gave the website, I have over 1,100 blog posts, all kinds of free stuff for you there for the taking. You know, enjoy. Thanks again for being in my network. And today I only had a chance to send out a few hundred of these. But just with the few hundred that I sent out, first of all, a few interesting things happened. My web traffic was up. I noticed a lot of people then while they're on my blog, they were like clicking on some of the banners, like for some of the courses we have. My daily sales were up. In fact, today, out of the 300 that I had sent out, 10 people enrolled in a course that I have right now. That's $555. So, and I can link it directly to that. So that was $5,000 that I was able to generate from sending out the 300 people, which, I mean, you can't always get those results, but I don't know, maybe the stars were lined up today and spelled Uncle Paul. Who knows? But also what happened too, very interesting, I generated some really cool leads. I had people responding back and say, oh my gosh, I haven't heard from you in forever. Paul, your timing is perfect. We're putting together our kickoff meeting for January. We'd love to talk to you about being the keynote speaker, or we'd love to talk to you about a program or whatever it is. So it generated opportunity from just a simple email that I was sending out. And this is the thing, folks. Sometimes we cling so much to default hunting activities. For me, I'd make a lot of phone calls. I do a million other things like this right now, believe it or not, is part of a lead generation program that I have. But what happens sometimes is you cling to the things that you're seeing all the results and you forget, well, wait a minute, I used to get results from here. I didn't quit it because it sucked. I quit it because I just wasn't even aware that I quit it. I was too busy doing the other stuff. So I would really invite you to think about that too, because you might have that. So really, your main takeaways today would be, how can you mix it up? How will you schedule it? How will you know when maybe you're avoiding it? And maybe put like a little pattern interrupt there, like kind of along the lines of Zig Ziglar's. The rule is simple. You do it today. And last but not least, when you get this on your schedule, my advice to you would be to be absolutely relentless about letting things interrupt you when you're hunting for business. Now, my rule of thumb, and I stole this from somebody years ago, I wish I could give them credit right now because I've been using it for so long, is when an interruption comes my way and I am trying to hunt for business in any variety of ways, I just kind of ask myself a question, man. Is this a 911, meaning this is an emergency? Castain is wanted in, you know, the training room type of stuff, or the building is burning or whatever the heck it is. Or is it a 411, meaning, you know, it's just informational. And, you know, I can't wait 7 days, but, you know, I can get back to them later on after 4:30 or something like that. So, you know, and also when I'm making outbound calls, I do not take inbound calls because, again, I know for me that's an avoidance thing. If you're calling me, yes, sometimes it's new business and things like that. Most of the times it's customers. I'm not dissing my customers. My rule of thumb is that on the hour, I'll check the messages, and if somebody just really needs something, I'll get back to them within that hour. I have never had anybody say, Castain, you suck. You took a whole hour to get back to me. So I just kind of look at it that way and just be very, very careful about what I allow interrupt. I'm the same way about when I'm making outbound calls or sending outbound emails. I do not check new emails that come in. I kill all my pop-ups on my screen, like things from TweetDeck, and you know, I'm not looking at my smartphone. So those are some of the things I want you to look at. Weigh out those things. Be willing to challenge what you're doing. I think that's what keeps us kind of growing and getting stronger at our craft, a willingness to challenge what we're doing. Because you know what? In your defense, what you're doing might have worked brilliantly for you at one time. But remember, business moves at the speed of light. So as I said to you the other day, I want to challenge you to challenge what you're doing. So with that, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. I'm wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them, folks. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.